It's nice to have all of you back with us again for day two. Remember, Lois, we said yesterday we're going to be back today.
And we're here.
That's you. And also Gordon's here.
Of course.
Yes,
Gordon's
I'm here too. I've come back to talk more about the art of conversing.
Right. Well, you know, this is a very useful article. Some articles are technical and some are information about travel, but this is one that's very useful for our life, don't you think, Lois?
Right. And when you say useful, I also want to pair the word practical.
Mm-hmm.
It seems very practical to me.
Down to earth.
And down to earth. And you know what? It is such a good reminder. Just like we go over English words over and over again, this is actually great to go over and over again, because for some reason, we forget to be an outstanding listener and a great talker. We tend to do it the other way around.
Mm. Well, and Gordon, remember what we said, that we don't have to always agree with each other. What did we say, those words? You can agree to what?
We can agree to disagree.
No, that's not easy to do.
No,
if I disagree with you, I'm going to keep getting after you till you agree with me. But I have to say that maybe you won't change. So I have to agree that we're still friends, even though I disagree. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's definitely correct. And we talk every day. And I think maybe more regularly than we're going to admit, we do things wrong every day. So today we're going to learn how to say I'm sorry once we have done something wrong.
Yeah, that's not always hard.
No.
Not always easy, and it may take us a while to get those words out, I'm sorry.
Well, our lesson is on page 33 today, but on page 32, remember, what did we say we should do when we have a lot of things that we don't like about somebody? Are we supposed to just keep remembering that, carry those around with us?
No, we're just supposed to let it go.
Get rid of it.
Exactly, get rid of it. Delete. Get rid of the garbage or the trash.
That's what we talked about yesterday. And don't be afraid if things get heated, but try to keep your cool, I would say. Try to not let it get out of control. What do you think?
Yeah, you're allowed to be enthusiastic about what you believe in, your opinions, but you should be polite and dignified, is what we learned yesterday, in conversation with someone who may have a different opinion to you.
That's true. And one other thing we learned that's very important that we have to remind ourselves of, even if we know it, is don't make it a personal attack. Say, well, Lois, you're always that way. Then I'm attacking you personally.
Exactly.
And instead of saying, well, there are other ways of looking at it, mm-hmm. don't criticize the way you do it.
Right.
So if you can remember not to attack people personally, that'll be a big help.
Yeah, exactly.
You think so, in your relationship?
Yeah, definitely. You have to stay on topic and keep professional.
So it's not just the art of conversing, but it's the art of getting along with other people who are different from you.
Mm. Mm, exactly.
There's
That's
all
a good
kinds
reminder.
Of different people with different backgrounds, but we can get along with them. We don't have to be like them, but we can get along with them. I think that's very important.
Yeah, we're all individuals. We all come from different places. And just look at us here on the panel today. We're from different places and different experiences, but we all still want to get along and converse well.
Exactly. And these principles work for people from England and from Canada and from Asia and America, every
right.
place, don't
exactly.
they?
Exactly.
They work for everybody. So let's go on and find out, because we all have lost our cool or lost our temper at some time or another. But I think as you learn, as you get older, you can learn to control that. And I hope that as we get older, we lose it less and less, because we can improve, can't we?
We can improve for sure.
Yeah. So let's find out what our lesson says on page 33. It says, how to say, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry. Is that the right way? Well, let's find out. Mm-hmm. Let's read the first section down through line 25. Lois, would you read it for us?
Okay. How to say, I'm sorry. You messed up. An apology is an order. What should you say? Our apologies are usually woefully inadequate, because we have a fundamental misunderstanding about their purpose, said Guy Winch, psychologist and author of Emotional First Aid, Healing Rejection, Guilt, Failure, and Other Everyday Hurts. Most apologies tend to be excuses or justifications. Sincerity will be at the root of any good apology, said Tony Coleman, a psychotherapist based in Virginia. Too often, apologies are delivered with a but in an attempt at justification or rationalization, she said. It's when you should show true remorse, Coleman said, and are open to listening to your loved ones explain how you've hurt them.
Well, you messed up just means you didn't do it right, right?
Right, you messed up. Sometimes that mess is a big mess, though.
Yeah.
You've done something wrong.
That's true. Like if you've taken the car out and your dad says you can't, he says, well, you messed up, you can't take it out tomorrow.
Right.
But you've not done the right thing, right? And so an apology is in order if you do lose your cool or you get angry or upset. So what kind of apology is it? Sometimes what we do is inadequate, which very woefully means really completely not good enough. Inadequate means it's not good enough. Yeah. Inadequate. That's a good word, too, inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sometimes it's not good enough. Why?
Yeah, so an apology cannot be good enough, can be inadequate when it is rushed or when you don't really mean it. So what we're going to be learning about today is how to apologize in an adequate way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, most of these apologies, they just kind of are excuses for us to say, well, that's why I said this and I meant this and that. So we call that justification. Justification is a good word.
Right. Justification is, Doris. We don't always hear it that often. A good reason or explanation for something.
So we like to say why I did this, why I became angry, instead of saying I'm sorry.
You want to explain it.
Mm-hmm. And then you should understand that I had a right
exactly.
to become angry.
You just shouldn't, with an apology, you shouldn't want to explain it away.
Mm.
You actually have to explain it and then say to the person, and I feel terrible, I really want to say I'm sorry, and I hope you'll forgive me for this.
But you have to say it like you mean it. And there's one word here I think that's very important in line 18, sincerity. You know, there's when I hear ads on TV and they say, this is the best something or other, they're paid to say that. And I'm not so sure how sincere that is. Or if somebody just says something because they want to get elected to government, well, do they really believe that, you know? And sometimes it's very hard to believe people because they aren't sincere.
Exactly.
And sincerity is very important. If you're a salesman and you say this is a very good product and you don't believe in it, it's not sincere.
No, you're right, Doris. It isn't sincere. I sometimes when you give an example like that and they're just trying to get you to buy something, but they've been paid to say it.
Yeah, you have to say that.
Exactly.
Right?
I oftentimes want to go on people's blogs that aren't paid for something or maybe on somebody's social media and find out, well, was that restaurant really good? Or will those boots or shoes really last? Because that's usually more of an honest.
And you could say, well, do you use them? Did you buy it?
Exactly.
Well, no, I didn't. Well, then, do you believe in it, right?
Yeah. So sincerity is when you're telling the truth, when you're honest to what you believe. Are you holding on to your integrity is another word we use for it?
Well, yeah, and we should be sincere when we say things, but sometimes we just say things, okay, I have to say this to my teacher or I won't get a good grade or something like that, you know. I mean, we have a reason to do this. It'll make my husband happy if I say that. I don't mean it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Well, they can tell if you're sincere, don't you think?
Yeah, when you're being sincere, you can see it in your face, in your expression, in your enthusiasm, that what you're saying is what you believe. And someone who's being insincere, you can similarly normally tell that they're not really believing what they're saying.
Right, like if I say something and I got angry with you or something, I say, well, I know I shouldn't have said that, but after all, you know, you shouldn't have, you know, I'm not being apologetic then.
Yeah,
I'm rationalizing, right?
Yeah, and that really isn't an apology. That's just a justification because you haven't really admitted that you've done something wrong right. when you do that.
Because you were not nice to me. That's why I wasn't nice to you.
Yeah.
That's what we call rationalization.
Exactly, and it sounds more like playground fighting like a kid than being an adult about a situation where you really do need to apologize.
Well, you know, people rationalize not. That's a good word to know, to rationalize. What does that mean, Lois?
Well, rationalize means to try to find reasons to explain your behavior and your decisions. And you know, Doris, when somebody is offering me an apology, but they're instantly going into rationalizing it, I tend not to hear them.
So well, we rationalize about so many things.
Exactly. I'm probably going, I don't think I can believe their apology either.
Yeah. Or sometimes you can rationalize, and for instance, why you're always late, because the bus doesn't come on time. Well, start 10 minutes early, but you rationalize. Or you could say, well, I'm supposed to be on a diet, but I'm just so tired today, I'm going to eat all this great big fat hot fudge sundae because I'm so tired. Well, that's no excuse. So you rationalize, and you talk yourself into something that's not the truth. So rationalization can be really destructive to you, can't it?
Yeah, I think, and rationalization can often be false. You're giving a reason, but if you actually thought about it, it isn't really the true reason
That's right.
What's going on. You're just
making it up.
Yeah, you're making it up. You're not really sorry.
Mm-hmm. But then when you're really sorry, then you kind of feel remorseful. Remorse is stronger than just being sorry. What is remorse?
Remorse really means that you really feel it. It is genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not manufactured. Your grief or your reason for wanting to apologize is because you feel so badly or so poorly because you did something.
If you are really sorry, and if I say something to you, Lois, I'm really sorry I said that about you, and you know that, then you will open up and say, well, that really hurt me, but I accept your apology. Mm-hmm. So you have to open up to being sincere.
Yeah, and a good test to see if you are being remorseful is, would you do it again?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're rationalizing something, when you're explaining what you've done, it's suggesting that you would still do the same thing again.
Right.
Whereas if you're sorry, you're not going to do the same thing again if the same situation has arisen.
You probably should say, I'll try not to. You can't say, I'll never do it again, because sometimes we do. But you say, I'll try not to.
Yeah. I'll try my best.
Try my best, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what is kind of the way, like a blueprint? A blueprint just is a way that we write down. What is the blueprint for an apology, Lois? Would you read the next little section?
Sure.
Blueprint for an apology. Winch said the ideal apology will include 5 specific ingredients. 1. An I'm sorry statement. 2. Expression of regret for your mistake. 3. An acknowledgement that social norms or relationship expectations were violated. 4. A statement of empathy, in which you acknowledge that you understand how your actions may have hurt the other person. 5. A request for forgiveness.
Thank you, Lois. And it says here that, Mr. Winch said, the ideal apology will include 5 different things, different ingredients. Different things go into an apology. And the first one is quite simple.
Yeah, the first one is an I'm sorry statement.
Right. I'm really sorry. That's number one. What's number two?
Number two says expression of regret for your mistake.
Okay, and I really do feel that I should never have done that besides being sorry. You regret it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry I did it. Okay, what's the third one?
The third one is an acknowledgement that social norms or relationship expectations were violated.
And that's a little more complicated.
Yeah, so when you've violated these social norms, it means you've ignored the rules. You've broken the kind of rules of engagement between two people in society.
Violating how she goes.
Those are not written down anyplace, so social norms. They're just things you should know.
Right, right.
It's not like you have a little book that tells you what they are.
No, it's telling you what is expected behavior. Usually when we think about expected behavior, we think of maybe what's in our country or our city. You don't want to violate somebody's property. You don't want to go into their yard or their house without their permission, or when they're not there if they haven't given their permission.
Well, and what if you're a teacher and a professor and the student says, well, I don't think what you're saying is true at all or something. Your relationship expectations, you do not expect the pupil to contradict the teacher in front of everybody. You know, so the social norms is when your parents say something, you must be respectful. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I didn't mean that. Or your husband or your wife.
Right.
There's certain ways you should treat them, or your neighbors. And so these social norms are the way we need to act in a society to make it peaceful and joyful. Right?
Yeah, these are the things that you learn from your parents when you're younger, and as you grow up, you learn these social norms.
They're the things that are normal right. for society to right. make it smooth right. and wonderful.
And if you disagree with your teacher or professor, it's much better to do it privately. Of course you're going to have things that you don't see the same on. That's just
talk
the way
later.
It is.
Can I talk
right.
to you after class?
Can I talk to
don't
you after
get up
class?
Say, I don't agree with the teacher.
Yes.
That's not the right way to do it.
No.
So that's very important, isn't it? And then another one here, the other statement of empathy, because empathy is a good word. It reminds me of sympathy. Sympathy is to feel very sorry for somebody. What's the difference, Gordon, in empathy and sympathy?
So with empathy, you're going further than just feeling sympathetic. You're feeling how they are feeling. So sympathy is you understand that someone else is feeling a particular way. And empathy is that you're going that bit further and you feel the same way they do because you can put yourself in their shoes.
That's right. To put yourself in their situation and know how they would feel if it was that way. So empathy, a lot of people have sympathy. I feel sorry for those people, but they don't really have empathy.
I always think of sympathy as I feel sorry for you and badly for you. Empathy, I'm riding this with you.
Mm-hmm.
I
right.
am with you.
Right.
I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you.
I feel
you.
It with you.
I feel it with you, but I'm also going to do things to help you through this.
So we've got four things here now, and the fifth one is
a request for forgiveness.
Okay.
And this is good because this shows that you're humble. It shows that you're in a position where you're leaving it up to the other person who you've apologized to forgive you and to say it's okay, we all make mistakes.
Don't you think that's very important?
Oh, exactly. A request for forgiveness, you want to have them, as we've been discussing before, we want to have them hear us.
Well, like if I'm saying to you, Lois, well, you know, please forgive me, and you don't even say anything, then it's the situation isn't closed. If you say, of course I forgive you, I've done the same thing myself, right. then you have empathy for yeah. me. But you will actually respond.
Right.
But if a person doesn't even ask you, you say, well, I'm sorry, you know, you say, but please forgive me. That's kind of the second step, isn't
it? Yeah, when you said the first thing, you kind of think, I'm sorry, they don't really mean it. They're just saying it in passing.
Yeah.
So let's find about this keeping an apology to the point. That's also very important. Let's read that last section, the second column on page 33.
Keep an apology to the point. Keep the apology concise, said Jonathan Elpert, psychotherapist and author of Be Fearless, Change Your Life in 28 Days. Even if your apology includes all the necessary parts, it needs to feel as if it has a heart too. Good apologies require reflection and thought, so rushing one might make it less effective, Winch warned. Elpert said the timing all depends on the circumstances. Waiting a few hours or days to give the person you wronged time to calm down could play to your advantage. An empty "I'm sorry" is meaningless, Coleman said. A good apology should recognize how your actions hurt the other person or people. If your apology feels forced, it is likely to leave the person who was wronged even angrier and less trusting than before, Coleman said. Make it heartfelt. If you don't mean every word of your apology, don't expect the person you've wronged to buy it. No excuses.
So we've just heard that you have to keep the apology concise, which means that it's got to be focused, short, and to the point.
Mm-hmm. That's true. This person here, Jonathan Albert, he's a psychotherapist. It sounds like someone very professional.
Right, giving therapy as a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he wrote a book and talked about changing your life and so forth. But he said even if your apology includes all these things, these all points here, they have to feel that it has a heart in it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want it to feel like the person really means it, maybe even has thought about it, just hasn't blurted out the apology, has prepared it and thought about it.
Right.
But the most important thing, Doris and Gordon, I think we all need to remember, that apology is necessary and don't wait too long to do it.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, the timing can be very tricky here. If it's rushed straight away, as we've heard Doris say, if you just say, I'm sorry, then that's not very sincere.
No,
it's not very heartfelt.
No, right.
If you wait too long, then people are going to be annoyed. They're wondering, do you really feel sorry? So getting the timing just right, when you've calmed down, but quite quickly after you've done something wrong or upset someone, you just go and apologize and be concise and to the point, and then wait for them to forgive you.
Well, that's true. That's what this Jonathan Albert said, that timing depends on the circumstance. It really does. Because you can wait a few hours for them to calm down, and for you, that can be to your advantage. It says play to your advantage. It means that it can count as an advantage to you. If you say it immediately, you know, I'm sorry, then, well, you didn't even think about it. So, but if you wait too long, it's not good. So timing is important. You certainly said, like we talked about the advice in the Bible, it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
You're
so
angry,
in other
yes.
words, if you're angry with somebody, be sure and apologize that day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till the next day. It might be more of a hurt to other people. Don't you think?
Yeah, someone might go to bed and lose sleep
mm-hmm.
over the argument, and we all need to rest at night. We don't want to wake up for a new day in a bad mood already before the day has begun.
So be sure and apologize the same day for sure.
Exactly.
Right?
I sometimes do not do that.
But that's good advice, though.
Yes, it yeah, sure it is.
And an empty I'm sorry is meaningless. I'm sorry. Just so, like, that doesn't, are you really, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of empty sounding. So what about a good apology? How do you do that?
So in a good apology, here again, that it includes a recognition that you're aware that what you've done, your actions or what you've said, has hurt the other person.
Mm-hmm.
This is a reminder of what we saw in the blueprint for an apology. You don't want your apology to feel forced here.
Right. Well, if you just say it and you don't mean it, well, I'm sorry, you say, well, you don't have to say it if you don't mean it. It makes the other person feel upset, too. They get even angrier and they say, well, you're not sorry.
No, you don't mean it.
No,
it doesn't sound like you mean it.
That wasn't very sincere, right? So you have to make it heartfelt, you know. You have to say, I really mean it. I hope I don't do that again. Please forgive me.
Right.
And then they might. But if you just say, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't sound like much,
nope.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The way you say it. Well, you have to mean every word of it. You have to be sincere. Otherwise, the other person will not believe it. What words did they say here? The other person will not buy it. What do you mean buy it?
Right.
How can you buy it? What does that
mean? Well,
they won't accept it, right?
They won't accept it. They won't think it's truth. They won't buy it. You're doing a sales job and I'm not going to purchase it.
Right. They won't believe it.
Yeah, and if they don't buy it, if they don't accept your apology, then it has become worthless and the argument is going to continue.
Right, and you'll have that relationship is broken. You won't be able to continue with them. So we have to be careful when we apologize. Don't say it. If you're not ready to apologize, don't say it just because you have to. Sometimes parents will tell their kids and they do something wrong. Now say you're sorry. I'm sorry. But they really don't mean it yet. They have to.
You are
you
so right.
You can tell that. Kids
I think
that.
I used to do that. Send one or both my children to their room and say, you know, come back and say sorry when you really mean it.
Right. Because they can just say it because they know you're making them do it.
Exactly.
That's not what you want. You know,
it's a forced apology.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Well, and here's this. There's a picture here of some people giving a hug and stuff. But let's see what it says about being empathetic. Would you read that one, Lois?
Yes, it says, be empathetic. Put yourself in the shoes of the person you hurt. Consider how the person you hurt was affected by your behavior. Alpert said, "Did it cause sadness, anxiety, fear? Show empathy and, during the apology, say you understand why he or she may have felt those emotions."
Now, that's not always easy to do.
Yeah, it is difficult, and this shows why you need time before you apologize, because you need to calm down yourself. You need to begin to understand what the other person has felt, and if you're at the point where you're going to apologize, you know you've done something wrong.
That's true. You need to really feel it and let them know it, and you're not only sorry for what you said, but you're sorry for the hurt it caused mm-hmm. them.
Right.
And so you want to let them know that you feel it.
And maybe even the distance between you now, because it's been such a long time since you've communicated, because either you've had to say you're sorry or your friend or family member has had to.
So this idea of empathy is very important. And I think it's also very important for you to be sincere when you're saying nice things like, "Oh, that's so nice," and you don't mean it.
Right.
So sincerity is important, whether it's an apology or a compliment.
Exactly.
I might say, "Oh, you look nice today, Lois," but if I don't mean it.
Right.
But if I say, "Wow, you really look beautiful," then you understand.
Right.
So I think everything in our conversation has to be sincere, and then people will believe us.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy, Doris, like you say, flattery is not being sincere.
No.
And people usually pick up very quickly that you're just flattering them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually normally more obvious than we expect. And then people begin to behave differently towards you. If they think you're not being sincere, they're going to lose some respect for you.
So what we've talked about is the art of conversing means being sincere, not breaking the social rules of society that we do. And when we do something that's not right, apologizing, but always being sincere. And we want to be sincere in the fact that here we're trying to really help you understand these things in your English. We're not doing this just to sell you a magazine. I hope you buy it, but that's not the point. The point is that we want to have you improve your English. So when you improve your English, I'm very sincere to say that makes me happy. What about you?
Yeah, I hope that going through this with you has helped today. And we hope that everything that we do is going to improve your English.
And when somebody comes up and says, "Oh, that helped me so much," that, and they say it sincerely, that makes me feel like
exactly.
It's worth it. What about you, Lois?
Exactly. And you know what? I am sincere with our students here, Doris, that I really, truly do get excited when you're excited about learning English, but I also see that you've advanced in your English, and now you're listening and reading Advance Magazine.
So we mean that we're proud of you in advance. So
yeah.
Stay with us and keep on, and we'll see you next time with another lesson.
Sounds
Thanks
great.
For being here today, everyone.
Oh, you're
Goodbye.
Welcome. Goodbye.
Bye.